Late Night Houston Sports Talk only happens here. It's Late Hits with Patrick Creighton. Presented by Dr. Jennifer Joseph, Get Physical Rx. By Dr. Krista Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology. And by BetUS. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
All right, joining us right now on the HRMP guest line. Listen, this guy has been with us plenty of times, and I'm sure you've heard him on many platforms. He is the lead NBA writer for NBCSports.com. He's our buddy, Kurt Helin. What's going on, Kurt? How are you?
I'm doing good. How you been, Patrick?
I'm doing all right. You know, I guess I've got a little excitement for the NBA this year, right? I feel like, you know, the Rockets, I don't expect them to be good, but I expect them to be better than they've been. And they've got some exciting young players. And I find myself interested in the NBA more than I've been the last 2 years from a Rockets perspective. What are your thoughts on the early Rockets with Ime Udoka? What do you expect from them as the season goes on?
Well, Şengün has looked great. He's been fantastic out of the gate. But overall, and I know some of the wins aren't there, this is going to be a year about building culture, about building what MA and Udoka and the front office want to construct long-term and find out which of the young guys fit that and which ones don't. But, look, it's a rough West this year. It's a really deep West this year with a lot of really good teams. It's not the East is kind of top-heavy, and then it flattens out. The West is just Minnesota's beating Denver last night. There's just good teams all over the place. So wins are going to be tough to come by. But I think if you start to establish culture and figure out who can and can't really ultimately play for you, that's a big step forward.
Now, coming into this season, Victor Wembanyama, the most hyped young player coming in the league since LeBron James, is he actually exceeding the hype?
He's coming pretty close after that game last night. It's interesting. I saw him in person Sunday night against the Clippers, and Kawhi Leonard had a really thoughtful way of putting it, which, you know, he's going to be really good because he's Kawhi. He's like, but he's then said, like, he's clearly still trying to figure out where his spots are and what he can do and what works for him in the NBA. But when he does, watch out type of thing. Like, and I think that's pretty spot on, that he's just still figuring it out, and he's still figuring it out. And then he gets more comfortable in every game you watch him. He's like, he looks a little more comfortable, but he looks more comfortable as the game goes on. And we saw that last night against the Suns, where he's making key plays down the stretch because he's finally kind of found himself in this game. And as that grows, there's nobody quite like him, man. He keeps doing those silly little, somebody lobs it up to him, and he doesn't dunk it in a classic lob sense. He just kind of tip it into the basket like a volleyball lob shot. He's just so big, and nobody can stop it.
Is Pop going to coach another 20 years now?
That might be extreme, but I'm curious if he's back next year. Like, I kept thinking it was going to be over, but he seems pretty energized and excited about this year. And this is the part he loves. Not that he didn't enjoy coaching championship teams. But I think what he enjoys most is coaching the fundamentals, coaching the teaching. And that's what this team is for the next couple of years. I think he might be around for that and then step away and let somebody else lead them, whoever that is, lead them beyond that.
Kurt Helin, I'm on Pro Basketball Talk, Basketball Talk on Twitter, X, lead NBA writer for NBCSports.com. Kurt, James Harden has managed to force his way onto another team for the third straight season. Why do the Clippers think this is going to work? And, you know, is Harden's legacy basically, top five all-time griper who's never going to win.
I know you're crushed that he's not in Houston, right? Oh. Like, you're really sad that that didn't come together.
You know, if only we could have had him and Carmelo at the same... Oh, wait.
I think the Clippers are in a... I mean, I don't know that there's a team. I mean, maybe there is if you're talking about Minnesota, but they're under as much pressure as any team this year. It's such a do-or-die year for them this year. And it was pretty clear through the preseason and just the first games, it's like, they're just not good enough. They're not in, like we were saying, in a really deep West where Denver's setting a really high bar, but there are a handful of teams, the Warriors look great early and others, like, that might be able to challenge them. The Clippers weren't anywhere close to that, and I don't know if Harden gets them there, but he gives them a chance. He is watching them the other night and you know, asked Ty Lue about it afterwards, and he's like, they need his passing. They need his ball movement. This is a team that can fall into too much isolation, so they think it can work, but they're also just desperate. I don't, you know, you said, what do they see? I think it's just more, this is a desperate team, and that's a desperate play.
I mean, James
and
Harden.
Maybe it works out, but I wouldn't. You know, you want to bet on it?
If you give me a line that Harden, Kawhi, PG, and Russ are going to play 37 games together this year, I'm taking the under.
Yeah,
like they're all going to play the same game together. I'm going to take the under on that. You know, James Harden's a guy who led the league in assists last year and is griping about passing. You know, yeah. How do they manage, you know, you bring a guy in to be a facilitator who doesn't want to facilitate.
They are banked heavily on the magic of Tyronn Lue, aren't they? Like, and he is a great coach and a great communicator, and the players love him. But that's it. Like, you're banking on his ability to get James Harden to do something that he didn't want to do for Doc Rivers, he hasn't really wanted to do for anybody. So maybe there's some magic in there, and maybe just having these four guys together, it's a lovely theory that the four L.A. guys kind of are all willing to sacrifice. And I will say, being around the team last Sunday, like, that was the word you kept hearing, sacrifice, sacrifice. Everybody's going to have to sacrifice to make this work. And that, everybody says they're willing to sacrifice to win a championship, Patrick, until they're asked to actually sacrifice them. You know, oh, you mean me? We'll see how that goes.
I ain't sacrificing no bankroll, Carmelo Anthony. Famous words. Kurt, what are your thoughts on this? You know, first in season tournament the NBA is running right now.
Greatest thing ever? No, I don't. I don't know. I mean, I think they've done as well as you could do with it in terms of, hey, man, there's some money on the line. You know, not nothing. I mean, not, again, if you're making max money, it's not a ton of money. But, like, for most players, that's still a lot of money. Coaches get paid. And most importantly, it's just part of the regular season. I got the vibe from teams and players just talking to them that it's kind of like, we don't care until, if we make that final eight, then we might start to care. Then there's more money on the line. And, you know, for players, man, hey, wait, you're going to send me to Vegas in the middle of the season? Okay. So I think that there's something there, but for the, I don't know how much they're going to care. And here's the real key, Patrick. What are fans going to care? Like, how are the ratings going to go up for this? Are people going to be interested in this, really? It's baked into European soccer, right? Like, if you're I'm a Newcastle fan, man. I want to see them do well in the Carabao Cup. I want to see them do well in the FA Cup. I want to see them do well in Champions League. I want to see all those cups that are in the middle of the season. Like, it's just baked into the fandom in a way that American fans going to care.
I think maybe they care as it gets to, like, the final, like, four games of the tournament. But I think the earlier games in the tournament, I think they're just going to look at them as their regular NBA regular season games. What do you like better, the City Connect jerseys or the City Connect courts?
Now, the courts are god-awful, aren't they?
For the lime green that's in Milwaukee tonight?
The lime green in Milwaukee, the there's a few others that are coming up. If you watch the Lakers game, when that one's on, the in-season tournament court, it's just going to, like, you're going to blind yourself. Like, rods in your eyes are just going to fry.
Oh, what is this one that's all, is this the Lakers? It's like dark blue and yellow. Oh,
like
this is Denver. This is Denver. It's got
Denver's
the 5280.
Blue
and yellow.
But Denver is like Boise State football.
Yes.
Lakers are,
yes.
The Lakers are yellow. Yeah, I hate those. We'll see. I mean, I know the first game was the Bucks game, and that one was like one of the least offensive ones. We'll see as the nights go on. I get what they're trying to do, but I don't know.
They have the lime green court in Milwaukee while the Bucks are wearing blue and white jerseys.
Yeah, there's that, and then there's wait for the very orange court in New York, where we're like, where's the basketball?
That's so Knicks. We were just talking about how before, like I said, listen, I grew up a Knicks fan, and the last time the Knicks won a title was a month before I was born. Right, they won in May of 1973. That's how long it's been since the Knicks have won anything. As long as James Dolan owns the team, they're never going to win. So until they somehow find a way for him to make him sell the team or kill him, they're never going to win. I've got a better shot of waiting for the Rockets to win again than I do of waiting for the Knicks to win again, because it's just never going to happen. This is my lot in life. I'm stuck with a one franchise that is doomed because they've just got a moron owner, and another franchise that's trying to rebuild from the ashes.
It's a tough spot. You're a Jets fan, too?
No,
really,
thank God. Oh, talk about wanting to throw myself off a bridge. I'm fortunate in that, I'm a Giants fan, and even though they stink right now, they've at least given me, you know, multiple championships that I've seen in my lifetime. So... And also, you know, two of the biggest upsets in Super Bowl history. So I feel the Giants have kind of saved things. The Islanders haven't done anything since the early 80s. And the Mets are great at breaking your heart. I mean, nobody breaks your heart like the Mets. So, thankfully, there's the Astros. The Texans, have a little something to follow here with some up-and-coming players, and the Rockets have some up-and-coming players. Early on in this NBA season, Kurt, who are your power teams?
Boston has looked better than anybody so far. The Kristaps Porzingis thing has worked out brilliantly. I know they lost the other night, but Denver has still looked really good. Their bench has been... that was the concern. I mean, they lost Jeff Green, they lose Bruce Brown, and their bench, young guys, have stepped up so far this season. The Warriors look very comfortable together. Chris Paul really has solidified their bench when Curry is off the floor, and that's long been a concern. I think they've been the three best, and then it gets a little messier. I know Dallas is undefeated, but they've also played nobody, so I just need to see a little more from them, but it's easy to like Denver and Boston because we kind of knew they'd be good, and then they came out of the gate looking that good. So it's easy to see how they go forward as like the teams you're going to have to beat if you're going to get this thing together.
Are the Sixers going to be better as the end of the season without James Harden?
Better is a tough word. I don't know if they're better, but they moved this Harden-shaped cloud that's been over their head away, which helps. I'm curious what they do with this, though. They've got two choices. They can either, depending on who might be available, they can use the picks and the players they've got and try and make a trade during the season. You know, again, it kind of depends on who comes available. OG Anunoby, I might go in for. Or they can try to sign somebody this summer, but I think that they're on the clock, right? Like this, what ultimately it feels like is Joel Embiid's been a good soldier. He will play hard this season. But if they get to, I don't know, free agency happens so fast now, so let's say July 10th next year, and they didn't score a big free agent with all that cap space they got, and they didn't use that, they didn't land anybody that excites him as a trade, I don't know how long he's going to be patient. I'm not sure how much longer that's going to go. I think they've got this season and the start of this summer, but if it keeps going sideways, you know, well, not sideways, because Tyrese Maxey's been good. They're going to be good. But if they get to the second round and get bounced again, that's not good enough. And I don't think it's going to be not good enough for Joel.
Are you concerned about the Heat?
Yes, because I'm not sure where – they just look like a team that was really like, we're going to get Lillard. Oh, wait, we're going to get Holiday, and they didn't get either. Their defense has been okay. Their offense is really struggled, and that's with Tyler Hero back going on a look-at-me mission. Like, I told you I was good mission. I'm really worried about them, and part of it is just the Heat always starts slow. Jimmy Butler will ramp up and play better, but I just think they're digging themselves a hole. They're not going to as easily get out of this year, especially in an East where it is Boston and Milwaukee and everybody else. And anybody else has to prove they're on that level.
All right, Kurt, last one for you. You know, we were talking earlier about the Clippers and their very strange collection of talent. All of those guys could wind up on another team next season. Do you expect the Clippers will be a full-blown rebuild a year from now with essentially no draft picks because all the key guys on this team, Harden, Westbrook, Kawhi, Paul George, they're all going to be somewhere else chasing their own, you know, next ring, or, you know, with the exception of Kawhi, first ring?
Well, I think that's possible. I don't think it's going to happen, and primarily because they're moving into a new building next year. The Steve Ballmer's Intuit Dome opens next, you know, at the start of next season with plenty of toilets for everybody. He'll be happy to tell you about it. But because of that, I just think he wants to move into a new building with something a little more established. I'm curious, though. I think they're letting it play out a little this season to see how this fits before they commit. But ultimately, I think they're going to have to commit to bringing these guys all back for at least a year, because I just think he wants something he can sell moving into the new building. And what you can sell, by the way, beyond the names is Russell Westbrook, Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, and they're all L.A. guys. They're all greater Los Angeles guys. The whole core four of them is James Harden at Artesia High. Like, you're bringing L.A. guys to L.A. I think that's something they can sell that differentiates themselves from the much more established franchise, the kind of generational franchise in the city down the street. So I think that's what happens, but, man, I think they're, like I said, if things don't work out well this year, Steve Ballmer's a little unpredictable that way. He may just decide to blow it up.
He's Kurt Heelan, lead NBA writer at NBCSports.com. You follow him on Twitter, X, at Basketball Talk. Kurt, always a pleasure, my friend. We will talk soon. Appreciate you.
Thank you for having me, Patrick.
All right, Kurt Heelan, NBCSports.com, lead NBA writer, breaking down all things going on in the NBA with us here on Late Hits. Before we hit the break, I'll tell you about our friends at Iron 24 Fitness and Recovery. You know, they are, you know, they're probably the only gym in the area that's going to have 24/7 access, no contracts, no hidden fees, no gym tours, no sales calls, no appointments, no nonsense. You sign up, everything is online. You sign up on the app, and you can start working out right now. Every Iron 24 facility fully equipped with high-quality cardio, machines, free weights, and their signature recovery rooms with infrared saunas. They've got four locations around the city, and more are opening soon. And when you are a member of one, you are a member of all. You can work out at any Iron 24 Fitness and Recovery anywhere in the city. It's all part of your regular membership. You don't have to, you know, get upsold or get the black card membership or the platinum card membership to be able to work out at more than one facility. Now, you can work out at any facility around the city anytime you want, and they've got more facilities opening up around the city very, very soon. For a limited time, participating Iron 24 locations, so that'd be all of them, offering new member ESPN listeners 2 weeks free, zero down when you join on the Iron 24 app. All you got to do, go to iron24.com/ESPN. That's iron24.com/ESPN. Get started today. iron24.com/ESPN. Iron 24, fitness and recovery.
ESPN 97.5.com. You need to learn.
Let the boy watch. He needs to learn the way I learned from my father.
Late night Houston sports talk only happens here. It's Late Hits with Patrick Creighton. Presented by Dr. Jennifer Joseph. Get Physical RX. By Dr. Krista Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology. And by MedUS. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
Hey, minute here for Dr. Ben Salento, Texas Sinus and Snoring. I met Dr. Ben 4 years ago and went to go see him, state-of-the-art facility up in North Houston. I went to go see him because I'd been dealing with horrible sinus issues for close to 20 years, and I'd been to see over a half a dozen doctors in two different states, and nobody had the answer. I'd been told by more than one doctor, look, you're just going to have to deal with this the rest of your life. It is what it is. And I'd been on every antibiotic you could think of, and every other month I had a sinus infection. I didn't even have to go to the doctor. I'd just call up, said, hey, I need antibiotics. I got a sinus infection, and they'd call it at the pharmacy for me. I went to see Dr. Ben kind of thinking he was just going to tell me the same thing. But Dr. Ben wound up being the only doctor that wanted to find the root of my problem. He was the only doctor that ever wanted to get a CT scan of my head and see what was going on. It turned out I had staph infection in my sinuses that was highly resistant to antibiotics. All these doctors never one time ever looked in my head to see what was going on. They kept me on this cycle of antibiotics half my life. Month later, I had a procedure with Dr. Ben. They surgically removed the staph infection. They did a balloon sinuplasty because all those years of infection had created all this dead and damaged tissue in my sinus cavity, and my sinus are almost completely blocked up. My airways going through my head were like 94% blocked. I never realized how many people thought that like I was snoring while I was wide awake and walking down, like just like walking next to people. They're like, why am I hearing you breathe? I'm like, what are you talking about? And they could like hear me because my airways were so badly blocked up. I was a terrible snorer because my airways were so badly blocked up. Turned out I had a deviated septum. I didn't even know I had a deviated septum. Well, they fixed that too. And here I am 4 years later, haven't had a single sinus infection, haven't even had a sinus headache. Oh, and I don't snore anymore, and it's all thanks to Dr. Ben. If you deal with sinus issues, snoring issues, sleep apnea. Oh, excuse me. Bless me.
Bless you.
You know what happens at some point in this studio every night, I have to sneeze. I can't get away from it. But if you deal with sinus issues, snoring issues, sleep apnea, do you have to use a CPAP machine? Are you supposed to be using the CPAP machine and you're not? That's dangerous as hell, but you don't have to live like that because the answer is Dr. Ben Salento, Texas Sinus and Snoring. 346-413-9313, 346-413-9313. Go to TexasSinusAndSnoring.com, TexasSinusAndSnoring.com, and tell them I sent you by. Johnny, let's get to our NFL picks. First up, Tampa Bay right here in Houston, taking on your Texans. Texans are 3-point favorites in this game. Now, Texans will be without Damian Pierce. They'll be without Robert Woods. Looks like Titus Howard is still going to be playing left guard. You got Devin Singletary and Mike Boone going to be the lead backs. I don't think the Bucs are great. They got a solid defense. They're going to blitz, but CJ's been good against the blitz. This has the makings of a game that should be very close. And field goal might be the line. I feel like with a line of 3, we're probably in push city no matter which way you go. I think it's a 3-point game. If you take the Texans, I think you're probably in push city. I think the Texans win, but I think 3 points is about the margin. I'd be surprised if it was more than that. But I'm going to run the risk of push city and take the Texans for 3 points at home. The Giants and the Raiders, talk about disappointment. This one should just be, you know, this week's toilet bowl. I mean, the Raiders just fired everybody. They're going to rookie quarterback, first time start. The Giants are a mess. I mean, just point your finger and that Giants hurt. Who's quarterback in the Giants this week anyway?
DeVito?
Danny DeVito?
The other DeVito? That'd be awesome, though.
Aiden O'Connell is going to get the start for the Raiders. The Giants claim they're getting Daniel Jones back. I just read 2 weeks ago they were worried that he was going to miss the whole season. Now he's back. You know, I don't know if I'm willing to trust a whole new coaching staff. I mean, I would expect the Raiders to have a little bounce because they got to have a new coach. And look, we saw first game, Will Levis looked pretty good. Second game, not so much. You know, Jeremy Brown was very upset about that because he was ready to put Will Levis in the Hall of Fame after one game. And then he threw the critical pick. In Vegas, we're gonna go with the Raiders. We're going to go with the Raiders, and we're going to lay the 2 points. Dolphins and Chiefs in KC. This should be a track meet. Should be a track meet, which of course means it won't be. Because Kansas City's defense is better than they've been getting credit for. The Dolphins' defense might be worse than they've gotten credit for. Tua's been slinging it around the yard. Mahomes is the best in the business. This could be a high-scoring game. KC is only favored by a point and a half. Now, usually KC doesn't do great at covering the lines in these games, but it's a very small line. And I got to see the Dolphins show up in a big game. They didn't really show up against the Bills. So I'm going to take the Chiefs and the points at home because I can't take the Dolphins against a big team until they show me they can beat a big team. Vikings in Atlanta taking on the Falcons. The Falcons are 3.5-point favorites because Kirk Cousins' season is over. But is there a quarterback controversy in Atlanta? Are we going to get Desmond Ridder? Desmond Ridder got benched last week. Taylor Heinicke will get the start. Are we really liking Taylor Heinicke here?
Might as well have stayed with Ridder.
Jaren Hall makes his first start for the Vikings. Kirk Cousins is on IR. Nick Mullins is on IR. They just traded for Josh Dobbs. I feel like Dobbs might wind up getting into this game. This line is Atlanta by 3.5. I want to take the Vikings and the points because I feel like this might be a 3-point game. And I just don't know that I can trust Atlanta to cover 3.5. So I'll hit the Vikes and the points. Cardinals are in Cleveland to take on the Browns. Deshaun Watson is going to start, allegedly. He's listed as being the starter. The Cardinals, though, they traded their starting quarterback. And Kyler Murray, not quite ready to start yet. Doesn't look like Kyler Murray will be playing. So Clayton Tune, the former Houston Coug, who's thrown one pass in his NFL career, will get the start against a very tough Browns defense. And as much as I want the Cardinals to break Deshaun Watson, I don't think I'm trusting Clayton Tune to stay within 10 points against that defense. I will take the Brownies and lay the 10. Rams at Lambeau to take on the Packers. The 3-5 Rams, the 2-5 Packers. Yeesh. Remember when people were like, oh, the Rams. But, you know, then Matt Stafford sprained his thumb. And Brett Rippon is going to start for the Rams. Brett Rippon. And, you know, of course, the Packers are still starting Jordan Love. And he's throwing to, like, nobody. Maybe the Packers will just run the ball a lot. But with Brett Rippon starting at quarterback for the Rams, I'm going to take the Packers and lay the 3. The Commies going up to Beantown to take on the Patriots. Actually, Foxborough is probably like at least 40 minutes from Boston. But Patriots are 2.5-point favorites. You know, I'm not sure about this game. The Commanders aren't good, but Sam Howell right now might be playing better than Mac Jones. I think the Commanders actually have better weapons than the Patriots. Patriots by 2.5. The Commies are so up and down. Screw it. We're traitors. We're taking the Commies. The Commies and not the Patriots. We are traitors. The Bears and the Saints in the dome. Just no on the Bears. I'll take the Saints and lay the 8. I don't know if the Bears can score 15 points against the Saints. Not running the risk. Seahawks in Baltimore to take on the Ravens. You know, the Seahawks are 5-2. Ravens are 6-2. Maybe Lamar Jackson and that offense finally getting things moving, even though Odell Beckham Jr. is unhappy on the sideline because that was the worst signing. But I'm going to go with the Ravens at home and the 6. Colts, 2.5-point favorites on the road against the Panthers. The Panthers had their Super Bowl last week. They wanted to get Bryce Young a win over C.J. Stroud in the worst way. They're not going to carry that over with Gardner Minshew and the Colts. And they're going to revert to being the Panthers, and the Colts are going to beat them. This is like the co-main event of the week. Like Dolphins Chiefs is a co-main event. Cowboys Eagles is a co-main event. 5-2, 7-1. They are two of the best teams in the NFC. But until I see the Cowboys show up against a top team, I am not betting on them against a top team. So even though the Cowboys should be able to move the ball against the Eagles defense, which hasn't been great, I am taking the Eagles and laying the 3 and expecting the Cowboys to do what they do when they play good teams, which is stomp all over themselves. The Bills and the Bengals in Cincy. Joe Burrow is on fire right now. The Bengals offense is on fire right now. Bills been a little up and down. Josh Allen's already got 8 picks. I'm riding the hot hand and the Cincinnati Bengals at home and laying the 2.5. And Monday night, the Chargers and the Jets. The Jets defense is for real. The Chargers are 3.5-point favorites. The Chargers also always seem to find a way to lose games that they should win. This is exactly the kind of game we should look at on paper and say the Chargers should win this game going away, because how do we trust the Jets to score? And somehow, some way, the Chargers will turn the ball over twice. The Jets will get short fields. They might get a defensive score. And the Jets will somehow, some way, pull this game out, because that is what the Chargers do. Jets, home dog, prime time, +3.5. And that bet is very much anti-Chargers. Not so much pro-Jets. Just whenever you expect the Chargers are going to get something done, they roll over like the dogs they are. So I will not accept them as favorites. And those are NFL picks for this week. Coming up next, we will wrap up the show with a Friday edition of WTF.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, home of old Greg.
I know what you're thinking. Here comes old Greg. He's a scaly manfish. I'm old Greg!
This is Late Hits on ESPN 97.5, presented by Dr. Jennifer Joseph, Get Physical RX, by Dr. Krista Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology, and by BetUS, the original online sportsbook. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
All right, we'll wrap up the show this week with a little WTF. And we'll start with Ken Rosenthal. And talking about the South Bronx Slumlords, formerly known as the New York Yankees. Now, if you are someone who has been concerned about the Astros and analytics and their commitment to such, etc., you're going to love hearing Ken Rosenthal talking about the Yankees here. Just let me set this up for you here for a second, because this is just kind of unbelievable. So Ken Rosenthal was on the Foul Territory podcast, and he's talking about the Yankees hiring an outside analytics company. Listen to this.
Question for you: when you're at the GM meetings, I mean, you don't have to ask this directly, but maybe you do to any of the Yankees execs. I'm confused about the whole process of hiring basically a consulting or analytics firm or whatever it is to analyze what you're doing there. To me, and Yankee fans that are fans of FT have been dying to get back involved in the mix of what they're going to do in the offseason. But it starts with this story that has just come out. Obviously, I might get the name wrong. Brendan
Cuddy.
Okay, so he puts the story out about that firm and how they're going to look at the way that they're doing things. So I think there's a lot of Yankee fans that have the narrative of they're overdoing it on the analytics side. And also they're like, isn't this the epitome of that? You're having a group that's coming in who doesn't specialize in baseball to tell you what you think you should be doing in baseball. I haven't heard of this or seen this in any other franchise in my time covering this sport.
Yeah, the Astros did it. The Astros did years ago with McKenzie. Yes, and a number of teams, I believe, have done similar things. And it, basically what it is a business asking an outside consulting firm to review their operations. That's what this is. Now, if you're a Yankee fan, what you're worried about is meaningful change coming out of this. I don't know if meaningful change is going to come out of it. And I don't know that you need a consulting firm to determine what is wrong here. A lot of fans and a lot of media seem to have a pretty good idea of what's wrong. And I don't know that this firm is going to have that same kind of input. They may talk about processes with how the team makes decisions. I don't exactly know what a consulting firm does. I don't know that a consulting firm is going to say, you know what, too much analytics. That's not what they're coming in for. So we keep hearing about these Yankees changes. Oh, big changes coming with the Yankees. They're going to do things differently. Haven't seen it. Offseason is about to begin. So I don't know what they're talking about. Clearly, it doesn't seem that they're talking about Brian Cashman or Aaron Boone. Maybe it's a farm director. Maybe they overhaul their player development somehow. I'm not sure. But so far, it's just all talk, and we have not seen anything of substance.
Hey, I don't know. I think we saw big changes from the Yankees, right? Last year, the Yankees won 99 games. This year, the Yankees won 82 games. Big changes. Big changes. Every Yankee fan wants Brian Cashman's head on a stick. But he's got a job for life. Some people, like, they go after Aaron Boone. Aaron Boone didn't get these guys who can't play or who are always hurt. Aaron Boone didn't hand monster contracts to guys who, well, shouldn't have gotten monster contracts. It's not Aaron Boone's fault that Giancarlo Stanton fell off a cliff. You know, or that Carlos Rodon can't get anybody out. That's kind of on the general manager who gets more passes than entire high schools. He's always getting a pass. Just remember, Astros fans, you could be the Yankees. All right, Draymond said what? So check this out, Johnny. The Warriors are 5 games into the season. They're 4-1. They look like a contender. We just heard Kurt Helan talk about how, you know, they look like a contender. They look dangerous again. Chris Paul handling the ball and Steph Curry is sitting down. How it looks like they've got more chemistry than they had a year ago. You know, they just eked out a 1-point win over the Kings on Wednesday night. And after the game, this is what Draymond Green had to say regarding this year's team versus last year's team. You ready? Last year, we had an awful team as far as chemistry goes. Pathetic. You look at last year and say, oh, man, this team hasn't lost a Western Conference Series under Steve Kerr, and then it happens. The big reason why is our chemistry sucked. Last year was horse bleep. Now, this is hilarious because the whole reason last year was horse bleep was because before the season, Green assaulted a teammate. He sucker punched Jordan Poole, knocked his ass clean out, and was the reason they had no chemistry. And then in the offseason, the Warriors doubled down on Draymond Green, gave him a contract extension, and traded Jordan Poole. Only Draymond could be so, like, unaware of himself to make those comments. Well, last year our chemistry was terrible. And leave out the part of, because of you.
Yeah, but he would argue it's not because of him.
Of course.
Jordan Poole's actions are what made him punch Jordan Poole.
Everybody's the hero in their own story.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of heroes, this woman might be an anti-hero. Dr. Daria Sandovskaya has made a very, very disturbing declaration in a TikTok video that has gone viral, declaring that the number one risk factor in the development of throat cancer is not smoking. It's oral sex. A TikTok user asked her, "Are you saying oral sex is proven to be the number one cause of throat cancer?" And the doctor said, "I said what I said." Now, the American Cancer Society does not cite oral sex as one of the potential causes of throat cancer. It does cite oral sex as a potential cause of throat cancer because human papillomavirus can be transmitted that way. And that is actually the most common sexually transmitted infection. But HPV is so common that, according to the CDC, nearly all sexually active men and women get the virus at some point in their lives. I'm feeling like this is a doctor who, you know, is probably getting down with another doctor and probably said, "You know what? I want you to do something for me." And she went, "Hell no. You'll give me cancer." And he's like, "What?" And she said, "Yeah, you'll give me cancer." I'm looking at a picture of her from this TikTok video, and she doesn't even look real. I mean, this looks like an AI-generated character. Like, her face is not, like, proportioned properly. Her eyes and her nose and her mouth take up, like, 95% of the surface area of her face. It looks weird. Also, she got some man hands. Holy cow, those things are huge. She could palm basketball.
She could also keep this crap to herself. We don't need this out there. It's bad news for us.
Now, apparently the doctor is advising men to wear condoms when receiving oral sex. So it's not the act, it's the end of the act that she's saying is the cancer problem, which does sound like was the character from Austin Powers, where her name, he asks her, "Well, what is it, baby? Spits or swallows?" You never saw Austin Powers?
I have, but it's been a long time, dude. I have no idea.
Her name changes, so he goes, "Well, what is it, baby? Spits or swallows?" Yeah, Randy. It sounds like a doctor who doesn't want to do the job. Although in 2013, actor Michael Douglas did claim that the cause of his throat cancer was in fact oral sex. Now that's an interesting thing here, because the doctor is saying men should wear condoms to prevent the cancer, and Michael Douglas getting throat cancer, the woman wouldn't need to wear one of those because she doesn't have one of those.
They do make those, don't
did
they?
Did he just come out?
No.
I mean, did
no? Like, I mean, oral sex goes both ways.
Did no? You understand what I'm saying? The doctor said men need to wear condoms, not because the actual act of the oral sex causes the cancer, but what happens upon completion of the oral sex is what causes the cancer. But a woman doesn't have one of those. Like, the woman wouldn't wear the condom because she doesn't have one of those. So how did Michael Douglas get throat cancer from oral sex if his wife doesn't have one of those? I'm just going with the facts here. I'm not adding any context to it. It's just, this is just, you know, I mean, his wife is Catherine Zeta-Jones. I mean, it's not his wife is gorgeous. We know she doesn't have one of them.
But I think they're saying it can come from what she does have.
Well, if she can pop one of those out, I don't want to know about it. It's going to do it for us for tonight.
What a way to end my time at ESPN 97.5.
We are back on Wednesday night. Big thanks to Kurt Heelan, NBC Sports, our callers, texters, tweeters, and twitchers. My man, Big Johnny B, one last time on the other side of the glass. Gonna miss you, big guy. Appreciate everything you've done for me, for this show, producing the videos, everything. And you're gonna be missed around here, brother.
I'll miss it. Thank you, Patrick.
Have a great night. H-Town!
ESPN 97.5.com. Aya Game Powder.
There's a shortage of perfect breasts in this world. It would be a pity to damage yours.
Oh, Wesley, darling.